we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you say that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When you think of the book of Joshua, what stories come to your mind? The crossing of the Jordan River? The stones of remembrance? Maybe you think about the tumbling walls of Jericho or the day the sun stood still. The book of Joshua is more than all that. It is a book of historical facts and events in Israel's story, but it's also about new beginnings for God's people. It encourages us to be strong and courageous in the world today as we claim our rich spiritual inheritance in Jesus Christ. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Joshua, Be Strong and Courageous. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Okay, are we ready for our memory verse? It's on page 19 in case you need to look at it. Okay, here we go. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9 NLT. We're going to say it like we mean it, right? Here we go. Come on. This is a command. Here we go. Ready? This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9 NLT. There we go.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and your grace and your peace that surpasses all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds in you, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you have filled us to overflowing with your joy unspeakable, full of glory. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Thank you that you never leave us and you never forsake us, Lord. Thank you that you are good. Thank you that this year is crowned with your goodness and in your paths. Your paths drip with abundance. And so we thank you for that, Lord. And as we look into Joshua, Lord, I pray for your anointing. I pray, Lord, for your words to be spoken, none of mine, but only yours. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So you remember from last week that the book of Joshua is actually, it is the answer to, it's a fulfilling of a 700-year-old promise that was given to a guy who had no kids, that he would have the generations of children. And so it's proof that when he spoke that to Abraham, that did come to pass. It's the stories of God keeping his promises. God keeps his promises. Whatever he says he will do, he will do. And as Mary said, God's will, God's way, God's time. And so we need to remember that. This book is a story of transition. Oh, fun. Transition. Isn't that fun? One's transitioning out, another one's transitioning in, and it all looks very different. The Israelites have come out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt under Moses, and what should have taken them 11 days ended up costing them 40 years because of their unbelief, because of their unfaithfulness to the Lord. Caleb and Joshua and the children of that generation were the only ones that were allowed to go into the promised land. The promised land is not heaven because Canaan had fighting going on. I hope, and if everything I read so far says that in heaven there's not going to be fighting. I will have arrived at that time. There will be no more struggle, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. And so the land of Canaan is our spiritual walk right now, where we are at right now. This is where we are living when we accepted Christ and moved into that promised land, that we fight the fight to conquer the land. And that land is me. That land is conquering those things that want to, that old life that wants to manifest itself and come up and be a part of who I am. I have noticed, I don't know about any of the rest of you who are more mature, my filters seem to be slipping. And my mouth goes into gear before my brain does. And something comes out and I'm like, oh, God. It said, I said it wrong, I said it in the wrong way, I said it at the wrong time, I blah, blah, blah. And then I go in, I'm crying because I'm so stupid. That's what I tell myself. And I know we're not supposed to do that. But if the action was stupid, just call it what it was. You know, I mean, it's just, the action was, I'm not stupid, the action itself was stupid. So anyway, just praying for that maturity to come through, and I don't know how that had anything to do with what I was just talking about. The filters that slip and then just, you know, in maturity. But anyway, and so what we have is this transition that was happening. And so I was wondering, and as I was studying, I was thinking about the thing of the people already knew Joshua. They already knew his ability to lead. They had already been instructed by Moses and by Eleazar that Joshua was going to be the one to lead them into the promised land, that Joshua was going to be their leader. And so you go all through Numbers, in Numbers 27, 18, and the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. So that person that was to be his successor had his hand laid on him, and from there they went on. In 27:22 of Numbers, Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. In Numbers 32, Moses gave the command concerning Eleazar the priest to Joshua the son of Nun and to the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And then into Numbers 34:17, these are the names of the men who shall divide the land among you as an inheritance, Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. In Deuteronomy 1:38, Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. In Deuteronomy 3, it says that you must not fear them. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done. And then it goes on to say, you must not fear the kingdoms, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. The Lord God himself fights for you. In Deuteronomy 31, the Lord your God himself crosses over before you. It's new territory for me. The thing about getting old is that every day is new. You know, when you're a little kid and everything is new, and you think, well, you know, when I get older, I'll know everything, blah, blah, blah. But the older I get, the more I think, wow, that I never knew that. Oh, that's new. Oh, I have a phone there? Okay, yeah. So things you find out as you grow older, you're always learning. God has gone before us. God goes before us in every situation that we enter into. God has gone before us. and we don't enter into anything without him having done that. In Deuteronomy 31, God bless you, Moses called Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel. So he's introducing Joshua to the people of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Again, in Deuteronomy 31, the Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must die. Can you imagine the Lord speaking that to you? I have had thoughts. You know, you get to that place where you realize none of us, 100% of us will die. Unless the Lord comes and takes us ahead of time in the rapture, 100% of us will die. And so he's letting Moses know that your time is very, very near. And so, behold, the day approaches when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting that I may inaugurate him. God put the calling on the successor. It was God who put the calling on the successor, who would be Joshua. And so then he inaugurated Joshua and told him to be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. I will be with you. And then as he was full of the Spirit, Deuteronomy 34:9, now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. And here's why. For Moses had laid his hands on him. So there was a ceremony of Moses laying his hands on that person who was going to be his successor. So the children of Israel heed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so he was passing on that mantle, so to speak, unto Joshua. And so all that to say, that there was some kind of a ceremony, which I just said. Joshua is a continuation of the book of Deuteronomy. At the end of Deuteronomy, you have Moses dying, and then in Joshua, you have Joshua taking over that situation. So it's a continuation. It's part two, so to speak. Moses' name is mentioned 57 times in Joshua. We see the continuity from one leader to the next. Yes, he would lead as the Lord directed him while continuing in the direction that were already given to Moses. So something has been established. The Lord says, okay, somebody else is going to come in. They're going to build on what has been established, but it's going to look different because we have different personalities, because God has called us to different things. It's not that everything changes. Some things change, or the way that we do it changes. That's how it works when the new person comes in. And that's what happened in this particular situation as well. The Lord is encouraged of the important thing is not the servant, but the master. The important thing is not the servant, but the master. The Lord is encouraging Joshua, and later this leader will be encouraged by his people. Now, a little bit of history that we didn't cover last time. We were together. This is the first book of the Bible named after a person. His birth name was Hoshea, which means salvation. It was changed by Moses to Yehoshua, which means the Lord is salvation. And that is in Numbers 13:16. He was called Moses' assistant in Exodus 24:13 and will later become his successor, which we're studying right now. This book covers about 25 to 30 years and concludes with the death of Joshua at 110 years old. Now, it covers 25 to 30 years, and yet it looks like all of this happened in a week, doesn't it? It looks like it's all gathered together, and that's exactly what, like the book of Acts. the book of Acts, and we've already been told that. It was over an extended period of time. Was that 30 years as well? And so, but all of these things are gathered into these pages, and it looks like there was these things happening every day. And great groups all the time. And where did they get all that food, and how did that happen? No, it was over a period of time. And so I heard it said, if you looked at all of the works of Calvary Chapel and you put them into a book named the, there's a book that says it all. But, and the name doesn't matter. But it clumps in all of the things that the Lord did over that period of time, and it made it look like in 1 year, God had saved the whole world. You know, and everybody was sharing everything and all that. So all that to say, it's likely that Joshua was about 40 years old when they left Egypt, which would make him about 80 to 85 years old at this time. So he is starting on a new venture at 85 years old. Wow. Wow. The Lord said, okay, I don't care that you're 80 years old. I got work for you to do. Go do it. No wonder he had to tell him, be strong and very courageous. That just hit me. Whoa. Yeah, okay. So he was together with Caleb. He was a spy. They were the two men who went in, and they were the only two that came out with their faith showing. They trusted the Lord. They saw that it was the land that God had promised them. And so God allowed them to go into that land, Caleb and Joshua. And none of the men of that generation would go into it because of their unbelief. So the children of that generation would go into the promised land, but not the adults. Joshua understood oppression. He understood abuse. He had been a slave for many years in Egypt, but his past did not define him. And when I put this down, I know that the Lord is speaking to some of us and telling us, my past does not define me. The things that happen in my past, as horrible as they are, do not define who I am today. I am a new creature in Christ, and I'm moving forward. The past is the past, and you know what? I have tendencies toward, I feel a certain way in certain situations. Yeah, but that doesn't define me. That just means I don't have to feel that way in that situation, and I know that. And so I can overcome that. I'm being strong and very courageous in those areas. So it didn't define him, and our past doesn't define us either. Joshua went from a slave to a spy to a soldier to a successor. So he had quite a life, all beginning with S's. So... Chapter 1 through 5, entering into the land, and 6 through 12 are going to be conquering the land. We won't get into the other half of the book until we get together again in the fall, and that will cover the rest of it, and that will be the dividing of and settling of the land and the death of Joshua. So as we move in, and it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Why did he have to tell him that? Why did God have to say to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead? Didn't Joshua know that? You recall that Moses went out up to Mount Nebo, and then he didn't come back, and he didn't come back, and he didn't come back. Joshua's leading. He didn't come back. He didn't come back. And God says to Joshua this one day, okay, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. So this is what we're going to do. He couldn't continue to lead or he couldn't fully lead them into the promised land until Moses had passed on. So then he comes, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. You remember that this land was originally promised to Abraham. There was to be over 300,000 square miles that they were to take over. And we know what bit they have now. They had the most land during the reign of King David and King Solomon. And that was almost everything, but not quite everything. So that went on. They had the, and so that was what they were supposed to do. In verse 5, it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And lest you think that this is just Old Testament, but I know you don't think that because you guys are studiers of the word, and you know that in Matthew, it starts out in Matthew 1, 23, and it opens with the name Emmanuel. God is with us. God with us. Matthew closes with, in 28:20, I am with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The writer of Hebrews in 13:5 quotes Joshua 1:5, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Some of us, when we grew up, we felt abandoned because of something that happened in our life. We felt abandoned. God says, I will never abandon you. I have never, and I will never abandon you. In verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from the right, turn it from the to the right or to the left, that you may prosper. This is the reason, that you may prosper wherever you go. So we could say, God's got this. When we look at this, be strong and of good courage, for to this people, we're gonna divide that inheritance. I swore to the fathers, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to everything that you've been told to do. So we could say, which I always say all the time, God's got this. And God's got this, that's true. However, God's got this does not relieve me of my responsibility in making it happen. I have responsibility in that. I don't just sit back and watch it happen. We as believers can be certain of God's promises, but these promises are to move us into action, not to just sit back and expect it to just come to us. Now, recently, I'm old, I know that, and I watch TV. I watch regular TV with commercials on it. So I saw this commercial. And you know what? That's another story. We won't go there. I was watching a commercial recently about looking for a job. And the guy is saying, you have more important things going on in your life than looking for a job. Okay, so here you are wasting all of your time sitting at your computer, sending out these resumes or whatever, or you're going to these places to try to get somebody to hire you. You don't need to waste your time on that. We will do that for you, and they will just call you to come and work for them because you need to be partying and you need to be get together with your friends and enjoying life. Yeah, that was my response too. You see, we think that when we put it in God's hands, it relieves us of the responsibility, that we don't have to do any work. None of us in here think that, but many people think that. I'll just sit back and wait for God to come. The whole story of, you know, I sent this one to the rowboat. I sent the rowboat, I sent the big boat, I sent the helicopter, I sent everything. Why didn't you save me? I'm in heaven now. Why didn't you save me? Well, I sent all these things for you, but you had to make an action. You had to get in them. You had to grab hold of them. And so we need to move. We have that action that Joshua is told to do here. So don't believe that lie. Joshua is told in our text to be strong and courageous by God three times, and in verses 6, 7, and 9, and by the people in verse 18. So we can't just go in and take everything. They can't just go into the countries and settle in, can they? They can't just go in and say, okay, guys, we want you to move out. We're going to take your land. You guys go ahead. Take your cattle, take your stuff with you. Go somewhere else. What would happen was they would settle into the culture. And God does not want us to settle into the culture. He wants us to be different. He wants us to look different. He wants us to react differently. He wants us to be different from this world. So the land must be conquered first. And courage, so be strong and very courageous. Courage doesn't mean absence of fear. It means that fear does not control me. Being a courageous person doesn't mean that I'm not afraid while I'm doing this action. All of the heroes that we hear about, they were afraid. When the people who have seen somebody in a burning building and they run in and they grab them out and bring them out, they were afraid when they were doing that. But they had courage and they refused to give into the fear, because the need for courage was greater than the need for me to wallow in my fear. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I got to tell you, when I was in the hospital with Bill, sitting in the emergency room for those many hours in my little chair, my daughter brought me coffee and stuff, but It's just the weirdest feeling. I'm thinking either I have lost all feeling altogether, or I have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Because I was sitting there and it was like, well, he's gonna be fine. He is fine. It's all, you know, there was just like, I can't explain it. I just, okay, then here we go. This is what we're doing now. So while we're in emergency, whose life can we touch? We don't go to places like that out of just because. Every place we go, everything we do, we touch people's lives. And so that's all I have to say about that. So be strong and courageous and do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. So only be strong and very courageous, verse 7, that you may observe to do action according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Why? That you may prosper wherever you go. Stay on the path, because his paths drip with abundance. This book of the law shall not depart from you. This book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do action according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So the counsel of God's word, observe it, means to obey it, all of it. Obey means to keep or to heed. In John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In 1 John 5, 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. James 1, 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Oh, I've memorized all the word. I've memorized that. Oh, yeah, I know that one. I know that one, and I know that one. But am I doing that? My way will be prosperous if I do. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Meditate day and night. Meditate means to ponder, to consider. It means to mutter. It means to growl. It means to coo like a dove. Sounds. Speaking the word of God out loud. How many times have I, when I'm in a stressful situation, have I just sat and called to remembrance all of the scriptures that I've memorized? Whatever comes to my mind. They don't go together at all. They're like, you know, Jesus wept, okay. And then move on to, and they rolled away the stone. And going on to the next one that the Lord puts on my mind to remember it. But I speak it out loud, even if it's at a low voice. I need to hear the word of God. I need to speak the word of God. I need to hear the word of God. I need to share the word of God. So, quote scripture to remind ourselves that he will be with us. Joshua had to take the time to read God's word daily and make it a part of himself by meditating on it. That's how we make it a part of ourselves. We meditate on the word of God. And so, then Joshua, and so verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. Prepare yourselves, because God's about to move. God's about to move. Prepare yourselves. Whatever God is speaking to you right now, when I said that, prepare yourself in that way. Prepare yourself, for within 3 days, you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And so to the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember, 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 remember. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. But here's the deal. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. Now, this is Joshua speaking to them. But you shall pass before your brethren armed. That means you're going to march out with them, all your mighty men of valor, and you're going to help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then, you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. And so Caleb and Joshua were the oldest men in the camp, and they were probably the most excited about what was about to happen. because they have seen the promised land. They have seen what God can do. And so they were the most excited. It was their faith. And faith comes by meditating on the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Annie Berry comes to my mind when I think of this. Her excitement about the Lord. Any of you who remember Annie Berry? She was always excited about the Lord. Always excited about the Lord. Now we have Irene, who is always excited about the Lord. Always excited about the next thing that the Lord's going to do. And we're looking at it, oh, I've got to get up this morning. I got to get my coffee. Oh, Lord, it's morning. Oh, yay, what do we got now? That's Irene, and that's Annie, and I want to be like that when I grow up. In verse 11, notice there is no hesitation in Joshua's words. He had seen the Red Sea open up. I will remember, he has seen the goodness of God. He has seen the Red Sea open up, and he knew that God would do it again if it was necessary. They prepared for themselves. They did something. They prepared for themselves. Doesn't say they cleaned themselves up before they went. It says they prepared themselves. Were they praying? Were they ready for the next thing that's before them? And they played a very important role in it all. They weren't saying, oh God, just make it happen. They played a very important role in it all. And we play a very important role in the lives of others that we are around. Are we sharing faith with them, or are we sharing doubt? David said in the Psalms, which I had said earlier, I will remember, I will remember, I will remember. Remembering the goodness of God helps us stoke the fires of our faith for the next thing that's before us. Moses had made a concession to allow these 2.5 tribes, which you've already learned in your homework, I'm sure, which I didn't go over at this point. So they liked the land because it was perfect for livestock, Numbers 32, verses 1 and 4. They were more interested in making a living than making a life, says Warren Wiersbe. They were more interested in making a living than they were in making a life. They would rather have all the glam than to have the inheritance that God had given them. They settled for less than God's best. We would rather trust in what we can see rather than trust in what God has said. And that's why we meditate in his word, so that we can remind ourselves of those promises and hang on to them tightly. However, all the men shared in the conquering of the new land. So they would come together, they would band together, they would fight together for something that they would not be a part of. They would not come and live in that land. That's ministry. That's what ministry is, working together for the good of someone besides myself. And you all are so good. I see you guys almost fighting over how much you can do for other people. How much can I serve? Where can I serve? What can I do? How can I help out that person? How can I help out that person? What can I be a part of? You're always there when there's a need. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. They encouraged Joshua. That's what happened next. They encouraged Joshua, so they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commands and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. So they encouraged Joshua by telling him that whatever he said, they trusted him. They would follow him because they trusted that he took the time to seek God in every decision that he was making. Notice that they also reminded him to be strong and of good courage. Thank you for always reminding me to be strong and of good courage. Thank you for always reminding me that God's got this. And this is my favorite. Thank you for reminding me of the words that I said and saying them back to me. Reminding me of my own words that I've shared with you that are needed in my current situation. Thank you for holding me accountable, and thank you for trusting me to lead you. And so, Lord, I thank you that your word never returns void. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. I thank you, Lord, that you have crowned this year with your goodness, and in your paths, they drip with abundance. Lord, as we go into our small groups now, we pray, Father, that we would be encouraged by one another, Lord, that we would be strengthened by one another, that we would know your word more. Father, that we would lay down those things, those hindrances, those things that so easily beset us. And Lord, that you would receive all the glory and all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.